The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday morning, December 14th, 2023. It is the Beating the Book podcast, week number 15 in the National Football League. It's Gil Alexander live from Bar Canada at the D with our regular staples on the show from his mom's. I don't know, where is that? It's not his Cork attic anymore. That looks like a beautiful downstairs area of his mom's house. It's Todd Wishnev. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm really not growing tired of the constant talk of where I'm doing the show from, but thank you, Gilly.
I just said I was doing it from Bar Canada. Why can't I say where you're doing it from?
You can say whatever you want, Gil. It's all good.
We're off to a rating start. Will Hill joins us. How you doing, Willie?
Gilly, what's going on? It's only a few weeks left, so this is not the prettiest slate ever, but this is life in the NFL of 2023. So
sure is. Winners. By the way, Todd Wishnev at T Wishnev. T-W-I-S-H-N-E-V on Twitter, star of the Showtime docuseries Action, and Will Hill at Not The Will Hill, that's two E's and the, who's also on the Bear Bets podcast, Chris Felica's college and pro football podcast, which he does every week. Have you enjoyed doing those podcasts, Will, this year?
No, it's horrible. It's the worst. No, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. I really enjoy it. Of course, it's like I said, football season only a month left. You get into the rhythm. You start like late August, early September, you look up and it's December. It's kind of a bummer. It's definitely going to be a void. You know, once you get to the playoffs, which is like, a month away, that far away, it's a different feel where it's just a couple games a week. You sort of beat the same games to death. It's a different vibe when you don't have that full regular NFL Sunday, which to me is the best. That 3:30 to 4:30 Eastern where all the games are ending, the late ones are starting. You don't get that during the playoffs. As great as the playoffs are, I really like the Sunday NFL regular season.
Well, I wild card week and division round week are still
They're
cool.
Good.
But yep. It's after that, right? Like after the division when it's like, oh my God, there's only 3 games left, period. Then that's where the depression sinks in. But, you know, by that time we'll have the Australian Open. So for the tennis hardos, we'll be on to something else. And joining us today, which I hope is an annual appearance, I did one of those terrible things on radio where while on air with him doing an interview, I'm like, hey, Pritch, can you do the Megapod next week? Which put him in this horrible position where even if he wanted to say no, he's like, I'll take a pass, Gil, thanks. He kind of just politely said yes. It's Mike Pritchard, everybody. He has a former first round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons in 1991, and of course a national champion at Colorado back in the day. How you doing, Pritch?
Gil, I am fantastic. By the way, man, you could ask me anytime. I would always say yes. I mean, I'm looking forward to this pod for a while, and certainly it's been a minute since I've been on it, but I'm happy to be with you guys today.
And the nicest guy you'll ever meet. See what I mean? The nicest guy you'll ever meet. Pritch, before we get into anything else, because I had jury duty yesterday, and I know you were on a numbers game. Everybody was talking this week about the Chiefs and Kadarius Toney lining up offsides and how it negated that amazing play from Mahomes to Kelce back to Toney that would have possibly won the game for the Chiefs the other night. I saw Dan Orlovsky on ESPN a couple days ago. So this is, you know, everybody had sort of the same opinion of, oh, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, as great as they are, the Hall of Famers that they both are, the future Hall of Famers that they both are, as great as they were wrong in being so angry at the officials, that Toney was offsides and that's the end of the story. Orlovsky did this thing where he's like, yeah, but like, look at these other three plays earlier in the game. He's also offside on all of those. So there is a legit question of why'd they decide to call it then? Do you, because someone was, because Kelly was telling me that you had a similar kind of opinion on that. Is that true?
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, first of all, there's so many layers to this. I mean, I think what people need to realize, if they can, is football is such an emotional game. You put so much into it. It's a buildup before a big fight, right? But you have, normally have months for that. But this is each and every week that you have this buildup physically, mentally, emotionally. And to think that you won a game and then all of a sudden it's taken away from you in this fashion, I can excuse Andy Reid. I can excuse Patrick Mahomes for that. In fact, I love the passion. And I love the fact that they were willing to call out the officiating because everybody wants to, right? And so I know, I get it. People want to come down hard on those guys. But it's hard to understand unless you're in their shoes about what's invested, right, and what's on the line. Now, the officiating has been really, really poor this year.
Sure has.
I think, so if you're not calling, and Dan did a great job, if you're not calling it throughout the whole game, why call it under 2 minutes of a football game when you know that you have Patrick Mahomes on one side and you have Josh Allen on the other side as an official? You know that. It's no different than having LeBron James out there and, you know, Kobe or somebody like that, or two superstars, whoever. Just take a pick. You know that these two teams or certainly two players are capable of battling this out, and yet you really are going to call that right then and there. It's ticky-tack. Now, I get it. People say, oh, he was way offside. You know, it was blatant. It was so obvious. Well, so is holding. So is legal contact down the field, but they don't call it because of the competitive nature of the game a lot of times. I mean, if they called every single penalty, Gil, those games would be four and a half, almost 5 hours,
yeah.
Right? Right. So I think an official wasn't wrong. Okay, you got to call it. You're going to get graded. Maybe you're trying to get to the Super Bowl with the grades and all that's on the line. I get that. But you got to understand the moment, and certainly that was not so egregious to where it's going to affect the outcome. That he was a couple inches offside. So get the warning, and if Tony doesn't back up, then throw the flag. But at least he warned the guy prior throughout the game.
Yeah, it's just an interesting different perspective because all of us had the same thing, like, hey, love you guys, but you're wrong for bashing the officials. But it was interesting to go through that. What do you learn in kindergarten? Two wrongs don't make a right. I guess in some sense this is Orlovsky saying, well, four wrongs ought to make a right. You know, like, I don't know what the thing is, but I get it. If you didn't call it that way earlier, then why are you calling? Because I am one of these people who's, I hate when people say, what I don't like is when people say, oh, you can't call that at the end of a game. Like, Will and I made merciless fun of Brock Osweiler when there was a rivalry game between Florida and Florida State, where he's like, you can't throw the flag on that interference. It's a rivalry game. Like, I hate when they come to that brain dead thing. But this is not that if you're saying, well, you called it one way the whole rest of the game. So I think it's kind of an interesting different perspective on it anyway.
I have a question. One more. Okay, yep.
Go ahead, Todd.
Did they ever show when the guy drops the flag? I never saw that on video. Does he drop the flag right away as the play is starting? Or does he drop the flag? He did?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Okay. Yeah.
The other thing I just wanted to say is the problem with the football is, like you said, they can call this on every single play. Mm-hmm. So it's impossible to do a true analysis of anything unless you analyze every single play. It's like whatever your news thing is, you can always come up with some bad news about whatever group you want to say bad news about, right? You can always find that. So it's the same thing with a football game. There's always something to call.
Yeah.
And if you don't do the full analysis on the entire game, you can't say it. So, yeah, it was nice that Orlovsky did that.
I like that you said, Paul, Todd, that you go, the problem with the football. The problem with the football. That's very
true. I will say two things.
Go ahead, Will.
Just quickly. These refs get enough crap when they get the calls wrong. I don't think we can give them a hard time when they get a call right.
Great point.
And the other thing is, Todd, and it's hard enough to say, hey, not only do you have to officiate what's right, what's wrong, but now you determine, hey, that's the right call, but now is not a situation to call. Either call it or you don't. You can't – this gray area, you shouldn't call
it. No, I'm glad they called it. First of all, I'm glad they called it. If you don't want to get called, don't stand offsides. And
that's the other thing.
There's nothing that annoys me more than guys who line up offsides or in basketball when a guy's on the wing and they throw him the ball and he hits a three-pointer and they go, whoops, he's out of bounds. How hard is it to stay in the goddamn bounds? I played basketball my whole life. I was never out of bounds on a three-point shot.
It's true.
It's infuriating.
It's true. Pritch, go ahead, Will. I'm sorry before. Go ahead.
Todd McShay said this on Russillo's pod. I thought it was so simple and so perfect. He said, look, Tony makes $4 million a year. Line up on sides. It's not that hard. You're not even catching the ball. You're dropping balls left and right. The least you can do is just line up on sides. For $4 million a year, line up where you're supposed to line up.
Well, Pritch, isn't that wide receiver 101? You see where the ball
is. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I mean, everybody's right. I mean, and that's the thing. Everybody's right. And it's like, Tony's not a wide receiver. He's getting paid $4 million to be a gadget guy.
And, right.
He's not a true wide receiver, and that's why he didn't line up correctly throughout that entire game. You know, just one more layer to it, fellas. It's the heightened nature of when it happened too, though. Like, right? Like if Tony was offsides in the second quarter, does that affect the game? No, it doesn't. But it's because it's under 2 minutes. It's the heightened nature of the situation that has garnered so much attention. And therefore, like, okay, if you're official and it's the heightened nature, I mean, the game is on the line and yet you're going to make that call. And to me, that's what this boils down to more so than Tony is inept in terms of knowing how to line up. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes was throwing a temper tantrum. He's so emotional. I mean, all those stuff are ancillary compared to the fact of the heightened nature of when this foul occurred.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to get your perspective because you've actually been there, and I think it's an interesting one. Wasn't as cut and dry, perhaps, as I made it out to be on the show on Tuesday morning, or Monday morning, rather. Okay. Todd, court stenographer, records update. By the way, did you enjoy being with Brent last week, by the way, Todd? Did you appreciate the fact that we were doing a show with the legend like Brent Musburger?
I mean, I would have been happier with Bob Costas, but it was okay.
Wow. Wow.
Look, in the 80s, I grew up on the AFC on NBC with Brian Gumbel or Bob Costas, not the NFL Today on CBS with Brent Irv and Jimmy the Greek. We're in AFC Pittsburgh, time and that. We didn't watch that CBS crap with them Cowboys and that. Okay, so that's why I have an affection more for the
sense.
NBC stuff of the 80s. And I mean, I love Brent, but I'm just saying, I'm making a joke.
It makes sense. I was a Skins guy, right, obviously, so we were an NFC house. You're right. And so, like, Bryant Gumbel and the whole NBC side of things was always those guys to us, right, for sure. Yeah. All right.
That was awesome.
Yeah. An update. We didn't update for 2 weeks because I forgot to bring the thing downstairs last week. Gilly had a 3-0 2 weeks ago, one of his myriad 3-0s this week. And then last week had a substandard 1-2. But yet he stays at an incredibly lofty 27-14-1. Probably his best job ever here on the Megapod since I've been involved with it. He also is 8-6 on teasers, a bit substandard, but okay, whatever. Will is now at 22-20 after a 2-1 last week, and he moves to 9-5 with his teaser win. I went 2-1 last week as well to go to 21-19-2. Also a teaser win to go to 10-4 and lead the most important category, of course, the teaser category. And then, of course, the guest group is pretty much the only group left that can probably catch Gilly at 23-16-3. Brent had a 1-1-1 last week and went to 9-5 on teaser. So, Mike, the pressure is on. You need to get us 3 Ws so we can catch Gilly and he doesn't get to be the winner this year.
All right. I love pressure. My whole life has been about pressure. I love it.
Bring it on. Still time for me to mess this up, by the way. Still plenty of time for me to mess this up.
By the way, can I just do a quick in-game before we go? Sorry, Will. What are you going to say, Will?
No, I just want to say my losing pick might be the worst pick in the history of the Megapod. I had under 31.5 Jaguars-Browns. Both teams almost went over by themselves. I thought Lawrence would be hurt, weather would be bad. None of that was true. Lawrence was fine. The weather was fine. And yeah, that was it's hard to have a worse pick than under 31.5 in a game.
You know what? Well, if you're going to lose one, though, lose it that way. Just get destroyed. Yeah. Just get destroyed.
Much worse.
Yep. It still only counts as one. All right, Todd, what's your in-game?
Okay, I got two quick in-games to do. They're pretty very similar. This past week on the Monday Night Football, we had Danny DeVito at the quarterback position. He ran the the run option. You told me before.
The read option.
Yeah. The read option always where they do it in college, where they put the ball in the running back's belly, wait for the defensive end to either crash down or not, and then run. He did it a bunch of times in the first half. He had 5 carries at halftime, and you could see if you're watching the game that Daboll had told him and made part of the game plan. We're going to run DeVito. Maybe he's not the greatest thrower, but we're going to run him at halftime. I looked at what the rushing attempts were for DeVito at that point. They were at 7.5 rushes. He already had 5 in the first half. They were only saying 2.5 more in the second half. I thought that was ridiculous because they already made it clear that he's gonna be running the ball. So I tried to get it over 7.5. It spun on me. I didn't get it. They came out of halftime. He ran 2 more times on the first drive. So now he's at 7 rushing attempts. And there's still probably, 25 minutes left of the game. They put it up again at 9.5 plus 125. I said, and at that point, Giants were winning the game. So I said, I got to do this because they're going to keep running him. And on top of that, if they're winning the game, he might get a couple kneel downs as attempts late in the game, if they're winning the game, which they were. So I took over 9.5. He ended up getting it on the next drive with 10. And so that's just a perfect example of where you're watching the game, and you're paying attention, you can see things in the game plan. Also, a very similar one is on the same Tennessee. The Dolphins running backs were gashing the hell out of Tennessee. They were having a hard time throwing it, but they were running like crazy. He was 13 for 65, 5 yards a carry going to the fourth quarter, and it was a close game. They put up in between the third and fourth quarter, 75.5 as the over under. Only another 11 yards. For sure, the Dolphins were going to be getting the ball, and for sure, they were going to be running the ball some more. So, why in the world was it only 11.5 more? Probably because the algorithm had them for, say, 45 or something pregame, and they only put it up in an additional 10.5. I was like, that's stealing because Mostert, every time they give him the ball, he gashes them. So, I took the over, and that again, it was a very easy winner. So, it just, a lot of times things are much harder than this in in-game, but sometimes things are just egregiously obvious, and those are 2 examples.
Those are great examples. By the way, Todd, I haven't mentioned this publicly yet, but I know you're a part of this. There's a Discovery Channel sports betting documentary that may happen, and in my discussions with them, I referred to you as the greatest in-game bettor that I know. I'm hyping you up. I'm big upping you, so you get on this.
Thank you, Gilly. They haven't called me yet.
They haven't? Oh, I keep telling them to call you. I keep telling them, I said, that's the guy you want.
You should also tell them that I'm also the most entertaining in-game gambler available, and that's why I was picked out of the crowd of thousands to be on the Showtime Action
series. I didn't quite say that. What I said was this: he's a renowned Orthodox Jew, and I gave the story about how you used to watch the sad story of how you used to watch sports through a store window, which I find so heartbreaking. It's child abuse. Right. Anyway, I big up you on this. So hopefully they call you here.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Real quick before we get to our best bets, there is this fakakta football game tonight. Pritch, how often did you guys use the word fakakta in your household growing up?
I never.
Okay, just checking.
We use something close to that, probably.
That's right. Something similar. And the reason I say that, by the way, I break out the Yiddish, is because the Raiders are 3-point favorites against the Chargers tonight here in Las Vegas. The total's at 34.5. The reason that I say this is because not only is it Easton Stick versus Aiden O'Connell. By the way, the Raiders were contemplating a switch to either Jimmy G or Brian Hoyer this week, but they're going O'Connell. But there's so many players, like Keenan Allen, out for the Chargers. And because the Chargers are in such a – both teams are 5-8. Yes, they're mathematically – both of these teams mathematically alive, but really their seasons are done. So you wonder if Austin Ekeler will get his, you know, normal workload. And the Raiders, I mean – name a player, Josh Jacobs, quad, Devontae Adams has an illness, Max Crosby with a knee. All of these guys are questionable. Their left tackle, Colton Miller's out, as is their center, Andre James. And you got to back up with, you know, whoever's backing up Colton Miller is going to have to try to take out Khalil Mack. There's just too many moving parts right now. The game is tonight. We're, you know, how many hours before game time? 8 hours before the game starts. I don't have anything. Do any of you guys have anything on this game tonight?
Under
34.5.
Yeah, these primetime overs have made a little comeback. I think it's 6 out of the last 7. All the ones on Monday night went over. That last Thursday night, Patriots Steelers went way over. But I think, look, I mean, this is just pretty simple. It's Stick against O'Connell. It might even be Hoyer. I don't think we'll see Jimmy G, because I think if Jimmy G got, if he played and got hurt, they owe him like $12 million. So,
oh, you can't do that.
Sounds like O'Connell. Exactly. Sounds like O'Connell's on a short leash. If it's Hoyer, Hoyer's an underfest because he'll take care of the ball, but he's going to be no explosive plays. Look, I watched more of that Vikings Raider game than I want to admit. Nobody could even forget scoring, even get in the red zone. The Chargers with Easton Stick aren't going to be able to move the ball. You worry if the Chargers have just sort of given up on this season, say, hey, we lost to Herbert. We're not going to the playoffs. We're going to have a new coach. So to me, this has like 13-10, 16-13 written all over it. Barring a barrage of defensive scores, I just don't see how we get over the 34.5. So I will go under for one of my best bets.
Okay, there you go. I do think
so. You're doing that as a best bet?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Under 34.5 for Willie.
I do think Easton Stick, like the running props aren't up because of all these players that are out, so they're all, you know, correlated to other players being available. But like, I would imagine Easton Stick with Kellen Moore having a week to prepare. Easton Stick actually ran well when he was at North Dakota State. Now that you have a week to actually game plan for him, maybe he like runs a lot in this game. That would be my one sort of thought.
He did have a touchdown drive in the second half against Denver.
He did.
Which was nice. That was another thing. They were down 17, so I took 17.5 at one place and 17 at the other place and ended up getting lucky with it. But he wasn't that bad in the second half. I mean, I almost made this a pick on my theory of garbage plus 3. If you remember earlier in the season, mm-hmm. there was a garbage game and a 3-point dog. And I love, if you're going to take a team in garbage, take the points.
Garbage plus three, add three.
So if you're, I almost made it one of my picks, but I didn't. But I, if anything, I lean hard on plus 3.
Rich, anything on this game, or are you staying away?
Yeah, I'm staying away. It's actually one of my stay away situations. I mean, the profile of it stinks. Backup quarterbacks versus, you know, okay defenses. I mean, familiarity as well on a short week in which these guys never really prepare. I mean, if at best they do walkthroughs, right? So you got two quarterbacks that are, you know, one's just now going to start, but the other one, Aiden O'Connell, has been struggling. But I will throw this out there. You know, Khalil Mack leads the league in sacks right now. And I think he went off against the Raiders last time. He's already got that chip when he faces the Raiders. And then you got Max Crosby, who's climbing a ladder in terms of the sacks too. So to me, a lot of guys look at incentives, you know, defensive player of the year is out there. And certainly if you want to be all pro, that's out there for these two guys. And these two guys are capable of wrecking everything. So it's a stay away situation. Like Todd, though, I did consider a teaser play with the Chargers, understanding I could take the points and have a couple possessions there. But I passed on that one.
Did you like when you had Thursday games, Mike?
You know,
they didn't really have
them play,
did they?
No, yeah. I was trying to remember. We didn't have those.
You didn't have Thursdays?
Once in a while, they would have the Thursday night edition.
Once in a while, they would have the Thursday night edition, right?
The Thursday night edition of Monday night football.
But it wasn't regular. That's right. It wasn't regular
yet. Our short week was if we had a Monday night game, okay, you're going to play Sunday. But I couldn't even comprehend what it would be like to try to get ready for a game on Thursday. Hadn't played Sunday. Right. And you look at how bad the Raiders play. I mean, without practice, how are they going to correct things? How are they going to fix things? How are they going to improve with walkthroughs? This is definitely a stay away game for me. I will mention the under. I can definitely see that situation.
And did you ever play under a lame duck coach like Brandon Staley is right now for the Chargers?
You know what? There was rumors about Dennis Erickson. When I was there, certainly my last year in Atlanta, Jerry was probably out the door, Jerry Glanville. So, yeah, a couple of times. In fact, I'm glad you brought this up because this is crazy. When I got traded to Denver, Wade Phillips was a coach, but then Mike Shanahan became available, and they got rid of Wade after 1 year. So all three stops, my coaches were in lame duck situations. It's crazy. I didn't think about it that way.
Does that ever get awkward, or do you just professional, just play through it, practice through it like nothing's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jerry Glanville situation, everybody was getting the hell out of Dodge in Atlanta. So Deion was leaving, Andre was leaving, I was a restricted free agent, I was leaving, Michael Haynes was leaving. I mean, everybody was out the door. And in Denver, it was shocking because we were just building the team, and Wade Phillips, who did a good job. I mean, we were 8-8, I believe. But then when you could have an upgrade with Mike Shanahan, I get what Pat Bowlen did. And then the same thing with Dennis Erickson. You know, Mike Holmgren was rumored to be interested in that job. And so if you can upgrade, it's par for the course. Like, as a player, you understand that. Okay, we're upgrading the head coaching position, so we're going to be better off for it. And in those two situations with Denver, and certainly Seattle, the teams were better off for those coaching hires.
Let me try one last one. When Left Eye burned down Andre Rison's house, was that awkward at all? Well,
that was freaking awkward. Yes. That was crazy. I mean, I don't know if I ever told you the story, but, you know, everybody lived around Andre. It was the same kind of neighborhood, right? And, you know, after practice, we're looking at this smoke and we're like, wait a minute, man, that is kind of close to where, you know, everybody lives. And okay, what's going on over there? And so later on, you find out what exactly happened. And that was crazy. She was the nicest, most beautiful girl you would know and would love to meet. And never thought she was capable of doing something like that. But, you know, if you get driven to some dark places like she did in that relationship, I guess that can happen.
I met those girls, T-Boz, Chilean, and Left Eye, and they were sweet as could be, and they were also they were so small. That was the other thing I remember about them. Yeah. Anyway.
Is there more to that story, Gil, or is that you just met him and that was it?
Just met him. Thanks, Will. Thanks for checking, though. Just met him. Nothing happened.
There's always more to a story. No.
All right. Let's do best bets. I wished there was more than this to the story, but there was not. All right. Pritch, your first best bet is?
I love the Broncos, you know, in a situation against the Lions. I've been, you know, studying the Broncos. And at the beginning of the year, I mentioned that there's going to be a surprise team out of the AFC West. You know, Kansas City was going to probably run away with the division. We'll see what happens. But that surprise team is turning out to be the Denver Broncos with the win streak. And a lot has gone on. A lot has happened. They got rid of guys that they didn't necessarily need and certainly were a cancer in the locker room. They've improved defensively. And then Russell Wilson has humbled himself, or Sean Payton has humbled Russell Wilson. And therefore, they're more efficient and so less reliant on Russell, too, in terms of what he wants to do and more about the team. So I like that situation. I think the Lions and Goff, they're playing timid, or at least Goff is, at the quarterback position. So I like the Broncos on the road, sitting at 4.5 right now. But I like how they're playing right now and getting the job done.
You're right. It's sitting at 4.5. And even as we have been doing this podcast, this has been the most Christmas tree lighting up board on that game than any other. It's bouncing back and forth with 4.5 looking like the point of resistance. Had gotten as high as 5 this week, was as low as 3.5, right now at 4.5. Todd, you know how I got out of jury duty yesterday? I said to the judge, I go, Judge Schwartz, perhaps you don't know that I host a little something called the Megapod. And she said to me, she goes, is that the one with the renounced Jew who sings all the fight songs? I go, why, yes, it is. She goes, you're out of here, buddy. And I got the hell out of jail, Todd. Do you know that happened?
Not surprising. Not surprising at all.
No. Does that happen?
It makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go with my number one pick as being the Cleve Brownies. I'm going to go with the Cleve Brownies minus the 3 against the Bears. You know, of course, there's been a Bears resurgence. We've all seen the Bears all of a sudden looking like actually a real team. And, you know, I'm not sure how much of that is the Lions falling apart, because two of those games, well, the one they should have won against the Lions and then the one they did win were against the Lions. But, you know, obviously, look, you got to give the Bears their due. They have been playing well for the last couple of weeks. But now you're asking them. It almost feels like one of those situations where these underdog teams win, then they become the favorite. To me, this is a little bit similar. It's like Bears were this real decrepit team, which was getting huge points all the time. You know, if this was 6-7 weeks ago, the Bears would probably be getting, you know, 8 or 9 points in Cleveland, or at least 6. And now all of a sudden you're bringing them in here at only 3 points. Now you're saying, okay, well, the Browns can go toe-to-toe with them. I mean, the Bears can go toe-to-toe with the Browns. But can they? That's a real difficult defense on the road now. We're talking about a whole new thing now. You got to go on the road. Joe Flacco, he's, you know, adequate, right? He's adequate. You can keep handing the ball to those big gasher running backs, and you can play defense. The Browns, to me, are a good team. You know, now you're almost saying it's an even. I know home field advantage is no longer 3 points. It's more like 1.5 or whatever it is. But, you know, 3 points is just so – that's not a lot of points. And so just give me the Brownies. I think the Bears, after all the big wins – are looking for a crap game. So I'll take the Browns minus 3. I feel like I'm buying the Bears. I'm selling the Bears a little higher.
Wilson Hilson.
I'm going to go head-to-head with Pritch. I'll lay it with Detroit.
Me too. Pritch, I'm so sorry. Man. Guest and host crime.
If you played this game a month ago, 6 weeks ago, this line would probably be double digits. And you say, hey, it's not 6 weeks ago. This is right now, and Denver's played well, and Detroit hasn't. I get that, but I think a lot of it with Denver is smoke and mirrors, as Todd would say.
Smoke and mirrors.
Turnovers, and there's been some luck involved. Detroit, there's a good team in there, a decent team in there somewhere. I know they haven't played well, but they're in their environment. They're home. You're going to get Goff out of the cold. That's a Saturday night primetime game. That's a crowd that's going to be into it. I can sense a bounce back here for Detroit. And Detroit winning this game by a touchdown, I don't think is outlandish here. I'll take the Lions minus the points.
All right, two things. One, Isaiah Von Wrinkle has just given me McDonald's hash browns. What a moment this is in my morning. Oh, this is fantastic. By the way, pro tip, get the McDonald's app. Get you a lot of discounts. Okay, I'm with you. My first pick is also on Detroit. I have taken a lot of incoming on a numbers game because I refuse at any point, even when people love the Lions this year, I didn't have them in my top 10 power rank. I had them like at 11. The highest they've gotten for me is 10 all year, and now I don't get any incoming at all. But there was a lot of people like, oh, my God, the Lions, you're so stupid. Their defense is not good, so I'm not a big Lions guy. However, my first two picks fall under the category of I don't understand a couple things. The Broncos love, and it's not just Pritch in this game, but I'm just talking about anecdotally listening to sports talk and sports betting media. People love the Broncos, love Sean Payton and the Broncos. And to me, again, they went from 1-5 to 6-5, And they did it in those last four games on a plus 12 turnover differential. And then this past week, they beat the Chargers, who didn't have Justin Herbert for most of the game. I don't get it. And Sean Payton's getting all the credit for this. I'm like, this isn't the 83 Skins. We've talked about this before. You're not going plus 43 in turnover differential. You're the 2023 Broncos. You're not that good. And I don't even think the Lions are that great. But I got the Lions, and I'm laying the points, just like you said, Will. Minus 4.5 seems like a discount because, and this is the thing about Dan Campbell, and this is one of these moments where people are busting on Dan Campbell for doing the same things that they were ignoring when the fourth downs were converted. They're a very volatile team because they go for it on fourth down. So if they win, they tend to win by margin, and so I'm going with the Lions in this ballgame. And then my second one, I'm also really confused, but when I did guessing lines on Monday, and going with my guessing lines instincts has been great this year, with the exception of two disaster weeks, one of which was last week. The Falcons are only 3 on the road at the Panthers. I don't really know if I understand that, especially in a year where I thought the market overvalued the Falcons most of the year, and I was always guessing below Falcons lines when they were favorites. Now, all of a sudden, the Falcons are only 3-point favorites on the road at Carolina. I guessed 4.5. I like Atlanta minus 3. They got the playmakers here. And again, I'll go back to the Bryce Young thing. This is why I had all those C.J. Stroud bets in the NFL draft for him to go number one, because I couldn't imagine that the Panthers were trading up for Bryce Young. Seems like a nice kid. But man, it hasn't worked out. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, because he doesn't have any weapons. Yeah, well, C.J. Stroud, I mean, no one knew who Tank Dell and Nico Collins were either. So I got Atlanta minus 3. I don't really understand this line, why it's so small. So again, those are my first two, Detroit and Atlanta.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're snaking. Will.
No, Will already gave his second line.
Oh, he did. Dodd. Go ahead, Dodd.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Dodd. You know, I'm going to be really pulling for Mike, because in order for somebody to beat Gilly, a head-to-head pick with the Broncos is going to need to win. So wait. I'm hearing this. Wait,
oh, no.
Here it is. Okay, wait. It's coming in right now. 26 no. seconds left in the ball game. The Broncos have just scored to make it 24-19, and they're going to go for two with 22 seconds left. Some people are very interested in this play, especially the people giving 4.5. Here's Wilson rolling to the right. He's going to wait. He's going to say, no, he's going to run it. Wait, did he get in? Yes, he did. 24-21. Oh, my God. Mike Pritchard covers it. It's unbelievable.
Again, I've asked this before, but probably not this year. At what age did your parents just look at you and go, oh, God, help us? Oh, clearly on the spectrum.
It was an orphanage question and some of that. But
okay.
Okay. My second pick is going to be, I have the Falcons too. I mean, look, there's nobody who hates to bet on Desmond Ridder more than I do. I don't like the guy. I mean, I'm sure he's a very nice fellow, but in football, like, I don't like him. He stares down the receivers and throws it directly to the other team at least once or twice a game. And that can be very, very negative towards your football winning when you throw it directly to the other team. I can't stand the guy. However, this Carolina Panthers team is just, this team is just unbelievably bad on offense. They're not so bad on defense, but on offense, they are just, now somehow, I loved the Saints last week. I think that was one of my picks on the Megapod. Somehow I found a way to lose with the Saints in the third quarter money line. You know, they were coming out of second half with the ball, and I lost that. I still don't know how I lost that. But the point is, the Panthers can't move the ball. So how are they going to score enough points to stay within three? I mean, this game has, you know, 21-10 written all over it. It could even be 16-10.
By the way, hasn't moved at all. Does that concern you that we're not getting something here?
Oh, I'm sure we're going to get screwed. It's going to final score like, you know, 14-13 or some nonsense like that.
Yeah.
But to me, it just feels like, how is this even possible? The Panthers can't get more than 10 points in a game. I mean, the Falcons aren't that bad on defense. You know, so I just don't get it. I'm going to take the Falcons. I'm going to hold my nose with Desmond Ridder, who I cannot stand betting on. But I'm going to take the Falcons minus the 3-2.
Every once in a while, Ridder throws a dime, though. Like, out of the blue.
Every once in a while.
All right, Pritch, you get two here because we're snaking.
Yeah, with those weapons, man, he better look better. Man, my goodness. I'm going with Tampa on the road against Green Bay, catching some points here. Looking at it right now, I mean, it's sitting at three. There's a 3.5 out there too. But I like the profile of this game for a lot of reasons. You got a very young football team in Green Bay coming off a loss because they can't close out a game. And you're looking for consistency from a young group of players. Now, their most talented players are banged up too. If you look at certain positions with Christian Watson and Aaron Jones. And so I think when you have a veteran team like Tampa who is smelling and sniffing the playoffs, you're going to get a great effort and got a great player too. Mike Evans. I mean, this guy's going to perhaps get a really lucrative contract in the offseason coming up. And then on top of that, Baker Mayfield on a redemption situation. So these are older players that kind of smell the playoffs, and this is an important game on the road for them. I think it's going to be highly competitive. And then I'll throw in the fact that if you look at Tampa Bay as an away underdog, 6-1 on the road, I mean, covering. So I like the situation. I don't know if the line is going to change anymore, but even though catching 3 points, I like the Bucks in that one. And then also I'm going to throw in the G-men. I don't know if that's going to shock you guys, but I just don't trust the Saints. I don't trust the fallout with what's going on with Derek Carr on how it's not working out. It just doesn't profile well for the Saints. They got some key injuries as well. And then this, it's not a recency bias, but there's something to DeVito and this team responding to him. Like with Daniel Jones, there was no belief or it just didn't feel like that, right? To me, it seems like that locker room is inspired by this guy in the story. And there's a number of players that are in contract situations, too, that are trying to either audition for a job or certainly keep their job with the Giants. And I think Daboll, even though it's been a rough year, has found ways to help the team improve. Well, I haven't been seeing that from the Saints all year long. And I think injuries are going to catch up to the Saints, too. So I like the points situation right there with the Giants. Those are my other two best bets.
Wow. Giants plus the points. I cannot believe I'm still sweating this under alternate season win total I have on the Giants at 6.5 at plus 180 or whatever I have it at. Like the fact that they're still alive on this. The other thing, I just want to ask you about Derek Carr real quick, Pritch. Because I have said for years, right, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but for years, even when he was in Las Vegas, when folks here, we've all heard these folks who thought he was like this great quarterback, and I always used to say, I go, you know, the stats, sure, he'll rack them up, but whenever the key moment of a game comes, he's just, I used to say this about Randall Cunningham back in the day, too. I was like, Randall Cunningham is great. I said, but in that key moment at the end of a game, and it's more Carr than Cunningham, you cannot count on him to make the right decision. And there's a lot of times, Will and I were texting about this once too, where he'll throw like the dumb, like the worst 4 yard, like it's, oh, it's 3rd and 15. They need this to stay alive in the game. And he'll throw like the worst, most, you know, he'll go out with a whimper. It'll be this 4 yard dump off that has no chance of succeeding. Sometimes he'll throw it in the dirt. Do you agree with that general assessment of Derek Carr? And do you think a team can ever win a Super Bowl with him?
Yeah, I'll throw in the fact that he's also fake.
I mean, that's
probably more damning than everything you just said. I mean, Gil, I agree with everything you just said and mentioned, but he's fake. You know, he'll fake an injury. He's looking for the sympathy. He's looking for empathy. I mean, he's just a guy that wants to be liked as a guy that, so look, I'm the quarterback of this team. I'm a leader, you know, some assertiveness, some authority, right? And when you come across as fake, you know, there's dissension. And that's starting to show up with the Saints in that offense and certain players on that offense. And it doesn't matter if he was here in Vegas or out there in Oakland, but now that he's with New Orleans, it's still coming to the surface. And then there's a ceiling for Derek Carr. Oh, what is he? He's about 24 touchdowns and maybe 15 interceptions. I mean, that's Derek Carr. And coming into this year, for the Saints to get anywhere, he would have to skew it. Much like he did back when he was a Pro Bowler, and get over 30 touchdowns and, you know, have it around, you know, 10, 11 interceptions if he can. But he's far below that pace. What, 13 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions. Interceptions are up as normal. But, no, he's just not a consistent player. I know he can put up the stats. And really, if you look at the game, I mean, a lot of people might be thinking that Wink is going to blitz Derek Carr, and Derek Carr does well against the blitz and man-to-man coverages. But if you're Wink, why would you blitz, you know, just let your rush – keep Derek Carr in a pocket, and at some point he's going to panic and perhaps give you the ball as well through a turnover.
It's interesting you say that too, because now that you use that word fake, when the Raiders were on Hard Knocks, I don't know if anybody can find the tape on this, but I said on a numbers game, I said on air, I was like, does anybody get the vibe from him that he's not really in, you know, not really a leader on this team? I said exactly that from just observing it on Hard Knocks. And the other thing I said, and this is where it gets comical, you talk about fake, he's also from California and has this Southern accent that drives me up the wall, because his brother David didn't have that, but Derek talks right, like he's from this, like, so all of it, you throw, it's not quite as corny as Russell Wilson when you put it all in the mix. It's a different kind of thing. But anyway, that's funny you bring that up. Will, you were going to say something?
Yeah, he didn't come off. He came off a little phony on Hard Knocks. And remember, he was one
phony,
of the
phony. That's the
like,
word.
It might have been Hunter Renfrow was like, you know, I get nervous before every practice. I'm always trying to outdo myself and be my best. And Carr goes, I don't get nervous before anything. You know, I've done everything in this league. Nothing makes me nervous. Like, dude, he never even played. At that point, he never played in the playoff game. What do you mean you've done everything in this league? So there is a little of that. And remember, he had the thing with Olave early in the year where he's chewing out Olave for whatever it was in terms of running around.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like the best teammate. Again, this is we're not in the building every day, but that's at least the perception of him.
All right, let's get the final final best bets from Dad, your last one.
You know, they haven't put up Tommy DeVito yet on rushing attempts, and I wonder if they're going to adjust it. And I don't know if what Dable was doing with running him last week was based on the Green Bay Packers defense and not on what they wanted to run him. I have a feeling they just want to run him now because they figure how much worse can it be than him throwing it. So I would look at that, especially if you come out running that read option again a lot with DeVito. You might want to look at in-game in that game against the Saints. So just something to think about.
Pritch alluded to this too, which is, you know, they paid Danny Dimes, what, $140 million or whatever it was. Like, that's the, again, getting back to the whole, the cruelty of when you have to pay this quarterbacks, the cruelty of the economic structure of the NFL. Like, you don't know that you are forced to pay these guys at a point in their career where you just don't know if they're quite the answer, but yet the alternative is a null set, so you end up paying them, right? Vikings with Kirk Cousins, Giants with Danny Dimes, Cowboys with Dak Prescott. We don't know. As great as Dak is playing this year, we don't know, right?
You have to propose after two dates, pretty much.
That's right. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Todd.
What line do you guys have for Baltimore-Jacksonville?
Oh, I love when he does this.
Mostly three.
Three. We get you three.
Then I don't want that one.
That's a lovely pass.
You know what? Go to Will, because I'm going to have to come up with another third one. Go, Will.
Todd, this isn't the showcase showdown on Price is Right. You can't pass and go to the other.
Right. I can pass. I have time.
All right, Will, go.
I'm going to take the Bills. I'll lay the two. It was a toss up between that and the Rams. I guess I'll just use the Rams in a teaser. I think it's a tough spot for Dallas coming off a big statement win. We've seen this a lot in the NFL this year where the team, the flavor of the week, the flavor of the month gets humbled a little bit the next week. You have an indoor team in Dallas. A Texas team, they're going outdoors. The weather doesn't sound like it's going to be crazy in Buffalo, but this is a Buffalo team that their playoffs have already started. I think we all agree if they get in, they're dangerous.
Yep.
I think there's a little more sense of urgency for Buffalo. I think this is a good spot. Now, McDermott drives me nuts. He does some strange things, some poor things in terms of strategy. They could certainly use a new head coach, but I'll lay anything under a field goal I think is good with the Bills. I think they win this game and put themselves in good position here to make a run as the schedule gets a little easier. So Bills minus the two.
All right, Todd, you want to take the showcase with the lazy boy chair?
Okay. I mean, I'm going to do this. I know it's probably the wrong thing to do, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go against the Yinzers one more time here, down air. Look, the Yinzers, if you ever have any dat in your life, right? Let's say you're walking around, you're datful about something, right? You're not questionable, you're datful. You just don't know what to do, right?
Yeah.
Yins might think going against Mitchell Trubisky in a football game might not be the worst thing to do if you're betting a game. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take them Indianapolis Minshews, and I'm going to say I'm only giving 1.5 to the Trubiskys. Give me a break. Now, am I concerned with the fact the Steelers just lost two ball games in a row to teams with negative records? I believe each team was 0-142 losses. Yeah, I'm concerned. If they were ever going to have a big ball game with Trubisky, this is the game to have it. However, they really stink on offense. So I'm going to take the Colts minus the 1.5 here. You know, this, for all intents and purposes, we're looking here at a playoff game. You might want to drive up from East Liberty, or let's say you're from downtown. You might be from Upper St. Clair. You're going to drive out to Indianapolis to watch this game with your terrible towel. I don't think you're going to come home happy. I think Zach Moss is going to run for a lot of yards, and we're going to have a problem. It's going to be Colts. Give me the Colts minus 1.5 in that.
Wow. In that. Is it Mike Tomlin really not going to have is he going to have a losing season in the end? It looked like they were coasting. What were they? They were 7-3,
maybe?
They were 7-4. And so, and they had those two easy games in front of them where they should have been 9-4. Patriots and Giants were, and they lost both of them. Oh, brutality.
I mean, by the way, the quarterback, I believe, who's starting is Trubisky. And after Trubisky is a guy named Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph couldn't start on, you know, Monroeville's team. I mean, they're not good at quarterback.
By the way, Patriots and Cardinals before that, not the Giants for the Steelers. Okay, my last pick. I am going with the Kansas City Omaha Chiefs laying 7.5. This line has come down. And I get it. It's not quite at the 7, but I'm laying 7 in the hook. And I know you're not going to get rich laying that kind of number on the road in the National Football League. It's going to be rainy in Foxborough, but it will not be snowy and it will not be windy. It'll be 50 degrees, but it'll be rainy. I think a lot of people, based on a lot of that conversation we had about Kadarius Toney at the top of the show and how they lost that game, and people are down on Mahomes and Reed for complaining and all that, I don't think people's perception of the Chiefs have ever been lower in like the last, you know, in the Mahomes era, as they are right at this moment. I think they're going to be the number one seed. I think they're going to run the table the rest of the way. I think they're going to crush the Patriots. I think they're, you know, because no team looks as bad as they do one week or as good as they do one week. I think they're going to roll in this game. And I said this before the Dolphins lost to the Titans on Monday night. I think that it's a great bet, 10-1 on the Chiefs to get the number one seed. If it's still 10-1, by the way, that's when I called it. I think they roll in this game. I don't think Bill Belichick, who, by the way, apparently these are his last four games coaching the New England Patriots, end of an era. I think Andy Reid and the Chiefs bounce back, and I think they beat the Patriots by double digits. That's my third play.
By the way, the prop of will the Chiefs get called for offensive offsides over under 0.5, under minus 450.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. By the way, do you remember when they used to call the Kansas City Kings the Kansas City Omaha Kings, the basketball team in the NBA? Do you remember that? No? Anyone? No? No? That's why.
Nope.
Okay. Before your time, everybody. Phil Ford, Otis Bird song? No, nothing? Okay. All right.
Nope.
Still no. Teaser of the week.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Teaser. Pritch, we start with you. What's your favorite two-team six-point teaser?
Oh, man. Will said it earlier. I mean, I love the Rams in the situation against Washington. Having them on a teaser with their playoff hopes are still alive. And, the Rams, I think Stafford's been incredible this season. I didn't think he was going to make it through the entire year, to be honest with you, fellas, especially with a bruised spinal cord coming off of last year. But, the guy's a warrior, and the team has responded. So I like them in the teaser situation. And I teamed them up with KC. I agree with you. I think the fire that Patrick Mahomes has, and I heard this straight from Eric Bieniemy. He said, I've never met somebody who wants to win as badly as Patrick Mahomes. And that's coming from a guy that I can tell you hands down was one of the most fierce competitors I've ever been with or played with, right? And so Eric, if he's saying that about Patrick, they're going to have a great week of practice. They're going to respond accordingly. But the fact that it is Belichick in this situation that he's never been in before, probably not going to be there again. They're going to get a good effort. But so I put the Chiefs, instead of laying it, I put the Chiefs on that teaser with the Rams.
Chiefs-Rams is my teaser too. I am right there with you. That's my teaser as well. By the way, before we get to these gentlemen's teasers, Eric Bieniemy, your buddy, who you played mm-hmm. with at Colorado, and the both of you, by the way, yeah. Pritch is very humble about his days at Colorado, but he's awesome. The two of those guys were everything on that team. Offensively.
Yeah.
Do you think he's getting passed over for the Skins job?
I don't think he has support in the front office for the Skins job. I could be wrong. I know he's been a named assistant head coach, and to be honest with you, if Rivera – they're not going to be disruptive. They're not going to get rid of him. But he does have the title assistant head coach. So therefore he should become a head coach next year. I think there's going to be 8, maybe 9 openings coming up this offseason. And he's got support in other places in terms of the executive level and a front office level to where he could get a head coaching job, I believe, this year. So if not Washington, certainly somewhere. But there's so much turnover in Washington right now. I just don't get a sense that they're going to look at that they're going to look at Eric. Or they're going to look at you know within and stay within and hire Eric there.
That's my feeling too. And by the way, Ron Rivera still has the job, but the assumption is that he will be relieved of his duties at the end of the year. It's going to be a race to see who gets relieved of their duties first. Brandon Staley, Ron Rivera. There's a bunch of those guys. It's so interesting to me that he's had all this success, and yet no offer has come yet. So maybe this is the off season. I don't want you to break any confidence. Is he just? I'll just ask you for a word. What is like his primary emotion about all this? Is it discouraged? Is it confused? Or is it, you know, nonplussed? He just plows through it.
Yeah, he plows through it. You know, he told me that he's still chopping wood, Gil, yeah. Todd and Will. He's still chopping wood, still getting after it, still trying to be competitive, still trying to win games. And, you know, he had Hal playing decent for a while. The offense has evolved a little bit, but you got a bunch of guys that – have fought that type of coaching all year long, but yet have been productive at times, but just not together. Right. And so he almost had the Carolina job. I thought he was going to get that, to be honest with you guys. But you know, that owner went a different way and it's cost him because he's just firing coaches left and right down there in Carolina. So it's good for Eric that he avoided that situation altogether. Yeah,
it's true, and we've all been there. By the way, it doesn't have to be a football coach. We've all had jobs we wanted in our lives, and then when we didn't get them, we were like all pissed in the moment. But then afterwards, you're like, "Oh, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me." It's not good, man. Yeah,
right.
Todd and Will, your teasers are Todd.
Mine is Chiefs -1.5. I think if you were ever going to get a focused effort from the Chiefs, this would be the week. And the Patriots are just, I mean, they are woeful. Especially on offense. So I'll take the Chiefs -1.5. And I'm not going to take the Rams. I'm going to go with your Davis Mills Houston Texans +8.5. Tennessee coming off the miraculous win. I believe the record was 0-767 in a row for teams being down by 14, less than 3 minutes to go. And somehow they won that game and moved it to 1-767. I just don't think the Tennessee is the kind of team that wins any games by margin typically. And to win by 8.5 is a lot in the NFL. And remember, Davis Mills has been a starter before. So he's not that, you know, horrendous. I mean, he's obviously not, the rookie of the year guy, but
not 100% that it's going to be Davis Mills though, right? It's concussion protocol for Stroud. So we don't know.
Well, if I get Stroud, then I'm real happy. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Could be even better for you. Will.
I have the same one as you guys. I'll be different. I'll go Chiefs Dolphins. If I'm getting the 8.5 of Dolphins, right? So I get it to 2.5.
Dolphins are 9.5. Do you see any 8.5, Skilly?
I can't find Miami.
Where are they? All right, that's fine. I'll stick with Chiefs Rams. If Bailey Zappe beats Patrick Mahomes, I'll live with it. And Washington's a dead team. Your Rams, it's interesting. So many of these bottom end NFC playoff teams are just, man, like the Packers and the Bucks, whoever NFC South teams. The Rams are the one team, like if you're the 2 or the 3, you don't really want to see the Rams get in the playoffs because Stafford has quietly played pretty well here. You got Kupp, Nacua, Kyron Williams has been a nice little resurgence. McVay is playing fast and loose with the play calling. They could have easily beaten the Rams in a tough spot last week. Rams are sort of dangerous here. I'll
say the Ravens. They could easily beat the Ravens.
Could have beaten the Ravens, yes.
By the way, before we get to the final two questions, y'all following this Circus Survivor thing? 13 entries left. 13 entries. And one person didn't want to chop it up. So they're playing again this week. And then when the one person didn't want to chop it, because there's always one, they tried to do a side chop for the rest of them to screw over the 13th guy, and they couldn't come to an agreement.
How do you do a side chop?
You basically make an agreement that if one of us wins, you will get X amount and the others will split up this amount.
So there's no chop if the one guy wins, but if the other 12 people win, there is a chop.
Correct.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you can simultaneously screw the guy that didn't want a chop because you could pick 12 different teams, which clearly are going to, you know, match one of his.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But wouldn't they be playing for money at that point still? They wouldn't chop the entire thing up, so they wouldn't agree to do that.
I don't know how they worked it out, but there's a way to work. Yeah, no, they wouldn't play for the entire, that's right. But they would play for their chunk in a chop.
Right, but what I'm saying is if they're still playing for something, then who would want to do all 12 teams to just knock that guy out?
Oh, correct. That would be a different thing, yeah. It's you can do it, but again, the thing would have been to play, again, I suggested on Tuesday on a numbers game, you got 13 left, it's 9.2667 million. Everybody gets a half million, you play for the final 2.7. And I said, everybody's like, oh, it's so obvious to do. I go, there's always one dude. It's a dog to happen.
You know, everyone's just so mad at one dude who doesn't. I'm sorry, Mike, what were you going to say?
No, you're right. It's always one. That's all I was seeing. I can't believe it.
Well, and the thing is, it's there's so many reasons it could be. One is the guy thinks he's better at the game than everybody else. Two, he thinks his entry is better with the remaining teams than everybody else. Three, he can't get the 9.267 million pot of gold out of his mind to reduce it. Four, there could be an entry that already has eight people in it, so if you chop 500,000, it's not that sexy. Five, Spanky was pointing out, maybe it's just somebody who now wants to shift it into a game of gambling, where they just think they have more gamble than you do, and they can sort of bluff you into making.
Or maybe it's a negotiation tactic.
Correct. It's a negotiation tactic. Correct. And then the I think Crack has a great one, which is also in a chop. Circa is not technically involved in a chop. So you are trusting that everybody is going to adhere to this chop. What if person X says, oh, sure, I'm in this chop, no problem. And then they win. And then when it happens, 9.267 million, they're like, I don't know what you motherfuckers are talking about.
Right, so what happens in that case?
What's that?
They're like, how do they do it? Like, what, do they have legal papers written up or something?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, when you get down
I heard they got lawyers involved.
Yeah, when you get down to three, that's easy, right? But I think when you have 13, it's still a little too many to get everybody.
What I'm saying is, couldn't one of three people do the same shtick?
They could, but I think with three, you have enough time typically to get lawyers involved. There's only a couple phone calls to make. You get lawyers involved, you get the paperwork. When you have 13, there's too many back and forth. By the time everybody gets on the same page, it's Thursday. And you're like, you can't get lawyers. Like, I think it's too many to be practical, I think.
I don't begrudge anybody wanting to win the whole thing.
I don't either.
I would probably take the chop if it was me. But, you know, at the same time, I don't begrudge somebody thinking, hey, this is my one lucky chance to, you know, for some people, they would think, oh, if I get $500,000, it doesn't change my life.
But I agree.
If I get $9 million, it does change my life. So maybe they want to do it. So I don't begrudge anybody for doing that.
I agree completely. I might be that dude. By the way, the guy is a poker player. No surprise.
Okay. Right.
He doesn't have the most sterling reputation. There are tweets from, you know, years ago where other poker players are like, don't get involved with this guy. He might be a scammer. But he leaned into it. Like, I almost turned my opinion on him yesterday because he put out a tweet. He goes, I am the guy, right? It's me. I am the best better alive or whatever he said. Like, he was totally playing the role of the Grinch.
What is he on Twitter?
I don't know. His name is Sean Perry. I don't know what his Twitter handle is, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, just thought it was interesting. All right, final two questions. Y'all ready? Final two questions.
Go.
Which we ask at the end of each and every Megapod. The first is, which of the big favorites is the most likely to lose outright? We don't have that many big favorites. By the way, it's a week where not only we have this horrible Thursday game between the Chargers and the Raiders, but we got three Saturday games. Vikings, Bengals, Steelers, Colts, Broncos, Lions. Plus six college bowl games, I believe it is. What a day.
Yeah.
What a day. Okay.
What do you mean? You mean this Saturday?
This Saturday. Here are the choices. I'm going to have to I'm going to have to let a couple in that normally wouldn't, but just so we have candidates. The Saints, 6-point favorites at home against the Giants. The Dolphins, 9.5-point favorites at home against the Jets. The Niners, 12.5 on the road at Arizona. The Rams, 6.5 at home against the Commodores. Oh, and the Chiefs, of course, 7.5 on the road at the Patriots on Sunday night. Those are your candidates. The Saints, the Dolphins, the Niners, the Rams, and the Chiefs. Mike, most likely to lose outright of the bunch.
Oh, I'm going with the Saints. The Aints, I got to go there. Not because they were a rival of mine when I was with the Falcons, but I just don't like they're a rudderless ship right now. They don't have a rudder. They don't have a leader. They don't have anything going for them. And I just think this is one of those games where Giants have everything going for them. I like the points earlier one of my best bets with the Giants, but I think they can win this game outright.
I figured you would guess that one. Todd?
I mean, I don't think the Commanders are going to win, but it wouldn't shock me. I mean, we've seen the Commanders play competitively against the Eagles before. We've seen the Rams kind of be up and down. So that kind of would not shock me if the Commodores had a good game.
Rams is his pick. Will.
I missed the question. You have some distractions walking on behind you, Gil. My goodness.
Do I really?
Yes. I'm going to go.
Of the female persuasion?
That would be correct.
Oh, okay.
I will go with Miami here. If you take Tyreek Hill off the field, and who knows if he's playing gimpy, it's not the same player. It's not the same offense. We saw the limitations in Tua physically, athletically. I mean, I thought when they got the ball back down one, I didn't think they were going to score. He's just so small. He doesn't have the arm. I know when things are going well and everyone's wide open, he can put the ball in the right spots. But if you make him the slightest bit uncomfortable, there are some real limitations with Tua. Jets have a good defense. Who knows? Maybe they keep it close and steal the game at the end. So I'll say Miami.
I think I agree with Todd, not with much conviction, but I think it's the Rams just because Sam Howell could do some things on offense. By the way, what happened to Terry McLaurin with Sam Howell at quarterback? What happened to that? They got a fleet.
He dropped a lot of passes in that Eagles game.
He dropped a ton of passes? No, they were like low and outside.
Yeah, but he could have caught.
Don't do it to him. Don't get him fired up.
He was also in bounds on the one that they called out of bounds in overtime. They screwed him.
I know. I'm just still mad about
it. Is he the one that was complaining about Eric's offense?
McLaurin?
Nobody really. Rivera never really mentioned who was complaining about how hard Eric coaches.
No, I can't imagine it was Terry McLaurin. He doesn't seem like a guy that would do that. Terry McLaurin is like face of franchise. Love that kid. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe. I don't know. But that is the one strange thing about the Skins offense this year is he just has not gotten targets. It's very strange. And I don't know if it's that toe injury. toe injury from preseason or what. I think it's the Rams, though. But I like the Rams and the Saints as the best picks there. But I totally hear what you're saying about the Dolphins, too. Well, I'll say Rams is mine. All right, final question. We live in a bizarro world. There's no more buys. There's 16 games the rest of the way, last 4 weeks of the year. You got to play a side in 15 of them. We didn't even mention Eagles Seahawks on Monday night, a game we haven't even touched on. You got to play a side on 15 of the 16, but you get one pass, Pritch, one that you don't want any part of. What would that game be?
Well, I mean, we talked about it already, fellas. I mean, the game tonight, Chargers and the Raiders. Good luck with that. You know, I think Will said the under was a good play, a smart play, and it is. There's so many variables in this thing. Like I mentioned before earlier, Khalil Mack leads the league in sacks. I mean, he could go off for like 8 sacks. Who knows? 6 sacks. Who knows? But then you got Max Crosby. Even though he's hurt, he's going to play. Right. And then he could wreck what the Chargers wants to do, too. So I don't know how you pick a side in this one. The Raiders can't score. They can't even get into the red zone. And then the Chargers, I don't know how you come up with an offense for this quarterback through walkthroughs. And Kellen Moore has no idea who this guy really is, I don't believe. And so that just gets difficult when Herbert goes down. So I don't know how you cap this one. I don't know how you pick a side in this one either.
Pritch, please. That's what I wanted to say. I never got a chance to say it on the show. No, I agree with you completely. I think that's mine, too, but I'll try to think of something else. Todd, what's yours?
Eagles Seahawks is kind of a conundrum to me. Is like, who are the Eagles? Are they these world beaters that win every game, or are they maybe not as great a team as we think? And are the Seahawks the team that took Dallas to the wire the other day, or are they the garbage team that they've been the rest of the year? So I'll just pass on Eagles Seahawks.
Willie?
An old NFC Central matchup, Bucks Packers, the Bay of Pigs. I can't figure out Green Bay. I haven't had a lot of conviction on them one way or the other. They look good. They're not good. I don't know what to make of Green Bay, and I'm not much more convinced either way with Tampa, who's up and down, have a decent record. They're somehow in first place. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, you can have it. I have no interest in that.
I agree with all of these for all the reasons you said. Chargers, Raiders, for what Pritch was talking about. Eagles, Seahawks. I agree with Todd's, like, who are the Eagles at this point? Bucks, Packers, I want no part of. I will go with the fourth, Texans, Titans. I don't know after last week what either of these teams are. Like, are the Titans the team that's sucked pretty much for most of that game. Although they did keep the Dolphins' offense intact, obviously, without Tyreek. But, like, was that offense the last two drives of the game, or was it everything before that? And then with the Texans, as great as C.J. Stroud has been, if you remove Tank Dell from that offense, all of a sudden they didn't look so good. I know it was against the Jets, and the Titans aren't quite the Jets' defense, but the Titans' defense ain't bad. So that, to me, would be my game. Texans-Titans, I don't know. And we threw this around. Like, if Stroud played that badly the rest of the year, are we sure he's still Rookie of the Year?
That's a great question.
If he had four more games that bad.
Who's the second? Who's in second?
Puka Nacua.
I think I'd still give it to the quarterback.
I don't think so.
It would have to be that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally no touchdowns. Yeah. I think as long as he breathes and like throws a touchdown here and there, as long as he's like okay where he does anything respectable. Like if they lost every game and got shut out every game, now you're having a conversation. But anything above that, he's okay. Assuming he comes back. I mean, if we don't know if he's coming back
right
this week. But assuming he comes back soon, that's the other interesting. If he
doesn't play,
lingered.
Yeah.
Then it is really interesting.
Let's finish then with this. Then I know
mine just picked up the three.
Yeah, just now.
Funny that you guys said that.
Just as we were talking. All right, let's close with this real quick rapid fire because I lied. MVP. Who, if you were voting on MVP, who would be your MVP right now? Pritch.
Christian McCaffrey.
Wow, Todd.
Yeah.
I guess I'd give it to Dak.
Will.
I think Purdy wins. You said who would I vote on?
Yes.
I'd probably vote for Patrick Mahomes just because nobody on his team gets a pass and he's the best player, but I'll say Purdy, but I'd be tempted. I would vote for Purdy. I'd be so tempted to vote for Mahomes, but if you're going to give it to him this year, you might as well just give him to every year. So I'll say Purdy.
I'd vote Purdy. I'd vote Tyreek, but I think Purdy wins. And then the last one, coach of the year, Mike, who's your coach of the year right now?
Kyle Shanahan. I mean, what he's doing with Brock Purdy, to you guys' point, is phenomenal. But I think he's doing a hell of a job coaching this football team.
Dot.
I'll give it to the Houston Texans coach. I think,
D'Amico Ryans.
I think he's been outstanding.
Yeah.
I think I like him, for what we thought the Texans were supposed to be and what they are. I'll take the Texans coach.
Will.
I'll go Shanahan. For the reasons Pritch mentioned.
Yeah. I think if I'm voting on it right now, I can't take D'Amico Ryans because they're on the outside looking in. But if they were in, I would say D'Amico Ryans I would vote for. Now that he's not, I'll say Kyle Shanahan. Gentlemen, thank
Somebody
you.
Somebody did a thing on Twitter, by the way. There was a thing on Twitter about how the way the guy that wins the NFL Coach of the Year is never a guy whose season win total has more than, such and such. It's always like a guy whose team it wasn't supposed to win more than a certain amount of games. It's right. A whole thing on Twitter, but it was really interesting.
It's a guy that beats the expectations by the most, yeah.
Right, exactly. The outlier.
Yeah, like Sirianni, for as great as the Eagles were last year, he finished fifth.
Right, and he was wire-to-wire favorite.
Wire-to-wire favorite, finished fifth. I don't know if I've ever told you this Brandon Crawford story, Will. Have I ever told you that story before? All right.
We didn't touch on the biggest sports story of the day, which is Furman Tulane. The over-under is 173.5. That's the highest college total I've seen all year.
Wow. Are you pre-flopping it, or are you waiting to see some action?
No, I'm going to be watching it and in-gaming it as usual.
All right.
Day games, right?
No day games today. Yeah.
No day games, no.
Wow, what are they thinking? All right. Todd Wishnev from his mom's gorgeous living room. Will Hill, you can follow them at T. Wishnev and at Not The Will Hill. And a big thank you to Mike Pritchard, at M.I. Pritchard on Twitter. Pritch, thank you so much. You are the best for doing this. I know it's not a short podcast, so thank you. We really appreciate it.
No, I loved it. I enjoyed it. And I'm happy to escape being insulted by Todd, too. So I think I did a good job.
That's right.
Who did I insult?
Nobody.
Because I like Bob Costas more than Brent.
Let's put it this way, Todd. He's aware of what you're capable of. He knows who you are.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Reputation
precedes
you.
I'm totally in jest. The only people that I'm seriously down on are the major host of this podcast. Other than that, I like everybody.
By the way, I love last week when you said to Brent, you go, good guy. Not not a great broadcaster.
Well, no, because he had said that thing about, remember he had said about Derek Carr, he's not a great situational quarterback. Yeah. And I said, well, we have a host who's not a great situational broadcaster. Great guy, not a great situational broadcaster.
I think you're exactly good guy.
Situational.
I love that. My dream for you, for someone to tell Brent to my face that that's so good. All right. Good luck to everybody with your Week 15 picks in the National Football League. Thanks for listening.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.